Investiture of the Gods, Chapter 51.
The chapter kicks off with a poem about the Yellow River Array, calling it a Shisuning Jingcha.
A time of reckoning.
A time of reckoning. It sets the mood perfectly. This isn't just strategy. It's like a cosmic bill coming due.
Absolutely. Change is here, and it's violent.
Okay, so let's get right into it. The Yellow River Array. Laozi and Yanshi Tianzhen, I mean, these are the top figures. They just decide to walk in.
And that moment tells you everything. Doesn't matter how powerful the magic is meant to be to them. It's almost beneath notice.
But what Laozi sees inside is fascinating. It's not just straightforward torture.
No, it's stranger. He sees the Zhu disciples who were captured, and they're described as asleep but not yet awake. Deeply asleep. Snoring heavily.
Snoring. While captured in a deadly magic array.
Yeah. But then the contrast hits. He looks at the main platform, and it's horrific. Four or five people incomplete in all five body parts. Dismembered.
Wow. Okay, so deep sleep for some, dismemberment for others. And Laozi's reaction. He says their 1,000 years of merit have turned into a painted cake. What does that really mean here?
Oh, that's devastating in this context. A painted cake gives you no nourishment, right? It means all their spiritual work, maybe millennia of cultivation towards immortality.
Mm-hmm.
It counts for nothing against this grand destiny.
So personal achievement just gets bulldozed by fate.
Pretty much. Their merit can't save them because this whole awful event is, well, required. It's settling the massive feud between the Jizhou and Chanzhou sects, making way for the Zhu dynasty.
It really clarifies the cosmic pecking order. Destiny, enforced by these top guys, is absolute.
Right. And the creators of the array, the three goddesses, San Xiao Nianyang, they try to fight back. They have to defend it.
They use their best weapons, right? The golden dragon scissors.
Yeah, Qin Xiao throws the Jinzhou Jun. These things are legendary, supposed to cut through anything. But Laozi, he doesn't even really fight it. He just holds out his sleeve like he's welcoming them.
Welcoming them.
Seriously.
Seriously. The text says they just drop into his sleeve like a mustard seed into the vast ocean. No effect. Zero. It's pure Wu Wei non-action, just completely absorbing the attack.
It makes their ultimate weapon seem like a child's toy.
Exactly. He's operating on a whole different level of reality.
And then Bix Xiao tries with the primordial chaos gold bucket, the Hun Yuan Jindu, the thing that captured the disciples in the first place.
Same result, basically. Laozi doesn't even touch it himself. He just tells his helpers, the yellow turban strongmen, go get that, and they take it off to the Jade Void Palace.
Like collecting a souvenir.
Essentially, yes. These incredibly powerful artifacts are just spoils of war to him. But the fate of the goddesses themselves, this is where the ruthlessness really shows. It's not gentle.
No, not at all. Yung Xiao, the eldest, she gets neutralized, wrapped up in the Kiankun map, the heaven and earth map, and basically imprisoned forever under the Quilin Cliff.
Okay, so containment for her. But Qiang Xiao?
Instant death. The Yuanxi Tianzhen has the white crane boy hit her on the head with the three treasures, Jade Rui. Bang! Her soul immediately goes to the investiture platform. Her part in the story is over. Destiny fulfilled.
But Bix Xiao's end seems particularly graphic. Put in a special box by Yuanxi Tianzhen and turned into blood water in a moment. Why so different?
It feels like an escalation, doesn't it? A more severe punishment, maybe. It's total physical erasure. An emphatic statement about challenging the Supreme Order. Just gone.
But her soul still goes to the platform.
Her soul still goes. It has to fulfill the investiture list. But the manner of death is just shockingly absolute.
Okay, so the array is gone. The goddesses are dealt with. What about the disciples inside? The ones who were asleep?
They survive, physically. Laozi wakes him up, uses his middle finger, points, triggers thunder, and poof, they're awake. Yang Jian, Jinza, Musa, all of them.
Instant wake-up call.
Mm.
But Yuanxi Tianzhen then explains the real cost. They've had their three flowers on the crown shaved off and five energies in the chest eliminated. Let's pause on that because that sounds bad.
It's incredibly bad from a Taoist cultivation perspective. The three flowers are the pinnacle of spiritual achievement. Losing them. It's like having your potential for ultimate enlightenment just cut off, a spiritual neutering.
And the five energies.
That relates to the core life force, the balance within the body. Losing those means they've been fundamentally weakened, spiritually gutted. It's permanent damage to their immortal path.
Okay, but hang on. If Laozi and Yuanxi Tianzhen were always going to step in for the Zhu side, why even let their own key disciples get captured and take this massive spiritual hit?
Yeah.
Was that suffering planned?
It seems that way, yes. It feels intentional. This whole massive conflict, the Sfeng Shinyanyi, is about fulfilling a preordained destiny and balancing cosmic bets, this shaki or killing energy.
So sacrifices were required, even from their own side.
Exactly. Their capture, their spiritual damage, it was, you could say, a necessary transaction. Part of the price for the Zhu victory and settling the cosmic score, their personal path gets sacrificed for the bigger picture.
Wow. Okay, they need these guys back in the fight, right? Jiang Ziya, the commander, apparently still faces this fear of four nines, some destined danger.
Yes, a critical moment for him. So the disciples, even though spiritually damaged, get a huge practical boost.
What's that?
They're given the earth-traveling golden light method, the Zhongdijin Guangfa. Suddenly, they can travel thousands of miles a day.
So instant mobility. Very useful in a war.
Hugely useful. They become rapid deployment assets. And they get their personal magic items back, too, the ones taken by the gold bucket. So they're weaker spiritually, maybe, but tactically much stronger.
Okay, so the Yellow River Ray is down. Disciples are back. What's next? The Red Sand Array.
That's the last big one. Nanjixian Wang, the Antarctic Immortal, is assigned to break it. And he goes right on schedule, the 99th day, with the White Crane Boy.
And the guy running this array, Zane Tianjun, he knows who he's dealing with.
Oh, yeah. He warns Nanjixi Wang, tells him this red sand can destroy an immortal body. Sounds nasty.
Designed to attack the essence, maybe.
Seems like it. It's meant to be lethal. But Nanjixian Wang has the perfect counterweapon. The Five Fires, Seven Feather Fan, the Wuhu Keeling Shan.
So Zhang Xiao throws the sand, handfuls, then a whole container full.
And Nanjixian Wang just fans it, uses the magic fan, and the sand just vanishes, poof, leaving no trace.
Another super weapon just completely nullified.
Exactly. The pattern is clear. The top-tier Chanzhou artifacts are simply unbeatable by these Jizhou arrays.
And Zhang Xiao, same fate as the others.
Pretty much. Tries to run, gets smacked from behind by the White Crane Boy's Jade Rui, falls down, killed instantly. Soul heads to the investiture platform. Checkmate.
So inside this red sand array, Neza and Lai Zhenzi wake up.
Yes, and they find King Mu. He's dead. The prophecy said he'd face 100 days of calamity, and lying in that array fulfilled it.
He had to die, according to destiny.
Right.
But he also has to win the war.
Right. So death is just temporary. Destiny requires both.
Who brings him back?
Randing, the lamplighter Taoist, he takes charge. Cleans the body, grinds up a special pill, a Danyao, mixes it with water, gives it to the king.
A magic pill, basically.
A very powerful one, yes. An artifact of resurrection. And after about 2 hours, Qin Wu wakes up, realizes he's alive again.
That's got to be a powerful message to everyone. The Zhu leader literally came back from the dead.
Absolutely. It confirms the divine mandate. Even death is just a plot point that can be overwritten if needed for the grand plan.
So Randing declares the array-breaking mission done. Gives the command seals back to Jiang Ziya.
Yep. Says essentially, okay, the magical stuff is sorted. Back to the human war.
But they're not quite done interfering. They're setting up the final act for Wen Zhan, the main enemy commander.
Exactly. Strategic moves now. Guang Chengzi goes to block him at Peach Blossom Ridge. Qi Jingzi goes to block him at Yan Mountain. They're boxing him in.
Creating a kill zone, almost.
Feels like it. And then Yun Zhongzi shows up. He's called a fortunate and virtuous immortal because he managed to avoid getting caught in any of the arrays. Lucky him.
And he has a job to do.
A very specific, very ominous job. He's there to build the heavenly fire pillars, Tang Tian, Shen Huzu, and wait for Wen Taishi at a place called Zhu Long Ling, Cut Dragon Ridge.
Heavenly fire pillars at Cut Dragon Ridge. That sounds final.
It absolutely is. It's a custom-built execution device. Randing even decides to go there, too, just to make absolutely sure. The spiritual war is basically over. They've scheduled Wen Zong's demise.
And Wen Zhong seems to sense this. He's despairing.
Deeply. The sources say he feels his whole sect, Jizhou, is now worse than ash and grass. He knows the game is up, spiritually speaking.
But Jiang Ziya pushes him anyway, challenges him, then executes a captured general, Zhao Jiang, right in front of Wen Zhong's camp.
Maximum provocation, designed to tip him over the edge into pure rage. And it works. Wen Taishi attacks, leading to this huge final melee.
Right. Let's just quickly picture this. It's not spells now, it's swords and spears. Quang Tianhua charges Wen Taishi himself on his black killin.
Yep. Then you have Yang Jian fighting Han Zixian, Neza taking on Kaiyun Shanzi. Specific duels.
And down on the ground, the main forces clash. Huang Feihu and the Zhu generals against Wenzong's generals.
Total chaos. The description is incredibly visceral.
Yeah, that poem. Sword strikes armor, armor receives the sword like a ferocious tiger fighting a swanee. A mythical lion-like beast. Intense imagery.
But the end result is just slaughter.
Warriors died disorder like hemp. It emphasizes the human cost. Only for the sake of the king settling the nation, blood dyes the sand. Before Xia even starts planning this big night raid, his side is already riding high, you could say. There were some major wins just before this.
Absolutely crucial wins. And the key thing here, I think, is how they were won. It wasn't just Xia's brilliance alone. Immortal intervention was decisive.
Right. It kind of signals that the outcome of the war is already sort of preordained.
Yeah.
On a higher level.
You could definitely read it that way. Wenzong's key supporters, these powerful figures, they were just falling one after another, like Han Zixian.
Yes, with the windbag.
Exactly. She had this incredibly powerful artifact, but Xia had Xiang Daren helping him out.
And Qiang provided the counter.
Provided the Dingfeng Zhu, the wind-settling pearl, instantly neutralized her main weapon.
Which is amazing. And Xia, seizing the moment.
Didn't waste a second. He brings out the Dashen Bian, the Wick of God strikes her, and boom, straight to the investiture platform, as the text says.
It's that sudden, almost clinical lethality. It really is.
Yeah.
And it continues. You've got Kaiyun Ferry taken out by Nez's spear. Quick, efficient.
And the general, Zhang Ji.
Same story. Wang Feihu's spear. It shows Xia's forces weren't just defending anymore. They were aggressively capitalizing on these openings provided by divine aid.
So Xiang Doran provides this key piece of magic tech, basically.
Uh-huh.
Secures that, let's call it the cosmic advantage, and then leaves.
Pretty much. His job there was done.
Yeah.
It clears the stage for Xia to execute the final, purely military part of the plan.
It gives Xia this incredible momentum, this confidence that he's not just fighting for the mandate of heaven, he's actually, you know, carrying it out.
Precisely. The stage is perfectly set for the Ji Ying.
Okay, let's dig into that strategy. Xia gets his generals together, hands out these written orders, the Ji Untie, and unveils this really complex plan. It's not just a frontal assault.
No, not at all. And what strikes me first is the psychological element. It's quite sophisticated for the time, really.
How so?
Well, before the main attack even launches, he sends out 3,000 troops, led by figures like Xinjia, Xinmian. Their job isn't fighting, initially.
What is their job, then?
Shouting. Propaganda. They're ordered to spread out and yell this specific message.
Which was?
Something like, submit to Chiki's virtuous ruler. Come over to us. Slee the tyrant Zhu King error, you'll be destroyed.
Wow. Okay, so that's pure psychological warfare, undermining morale before the shooting starts.
Exactly. He's trying to peel away Wenzong's rank and file, make them doubt their cause, fear for their lives, isolate the commander.
It's a smart gamble, betting on that basic human instinct for survival.
It is. But it wasn't just a gamble. He wasn't relying solely on them deserting.
Right. There was a fallback, or rather a simultaneous push.
Oh, yeah. A massive one. The main assault structure was intricate. Three key commanders, Huang Tianhua, Neza, Lai Zhenzi, sent on secret routes. The text just says thus and so, you know.
Yeah.
Very hush-hush.
Classic secret orders.
And then the main forces deploy. Huang Feihu with 5,000 on the left flank. Nagongqi with another 5,000 on the right.
So strong flanking maneuvers.
Absolutely. And then a direct heavy push on the main gate. The Yuan men, that's Jinza, Musa, and importantly, Long Zuhu.
Ah, Long Zuhu, the one who throws stones, like massive boulders.
That's the one. A walking piece of artillery, basically. Crucial for breaking defenses.
But here's the part I find maybe the most brilliant, the real checkmate move. The logistics attack.
Yes. Yang Jian. He gets 3,000 men, and his target isn't the enemy soldiers, not directly. It's the rear camp.
The supplies, grain, fodder, everything.
Everything. And the orders are specific. First, burn it all down. Xia explicitly says this will ensure the enemy army would be routed without fighting.
Crippling blow.
Utterly crippling. Then, and only then, Yang Jin is to go and support Lai Zhenzi's assault near Julongling.
It shows Xia understood the fundamental weakness. You can have the best magic, the bravest soldiers, but if you can't feed them.
It's over. Especially facing the elements, the pressure. Burning the supplies guarantees panic, guarantees desertion, and makes the whole military assault almost a foregone conclusion. Masterful, really.
Now, Wenzong wasn't completely caught off guard, was he? The source says he sensed something.
Right, he felt this killing aura, this shocky, moving towards his main camp. He wasn't naive. He did try to prepare.
What did he do?
He positioned his remaining generals, Deng Zong and Tao Rong on the left, Xin Huan on the right. Jili and Yu King were assigned to protect the supplies with archers.
Trying to defend the very thing Yang Jian was about to torch.
Exactly. And Wenzong himself waited in the center with his elite guard, ready for the main impact.
And then it hits. First watch.
First watch, yeah. Signal lanterns go up. Then a cannon shot the Xin Pao, and all hell breaks loose.
The description is intense. Conquering clouds lock the long sky. Swords and halberds clash.
Torrents of blood fill the pits and trenches. It's brutal. It mixes that epic, almost poetic language with the raw horror of battle.
Makes it feel very real, even amidst all the magic and mythology.
Definitely. And Xia himself is right in the thick of it, apparently breaking through seven defensive lines.
Seven lines. That's incredible momentum.
Which forces Wenzong's hand. He charges Xia directly on his ink Kylan mount, trying to cut the head off the snake, you know.
It makes sense to take out the commander.
But it backfires. Xia uses the Da Shenbin again. That divine whip.
Ouch. Where did it hit him?
Left shoulder. Wounds him. Maybe not fatally, but it takes him out of that direct confrontation.
And then comes the supporting fire, so to speak.
Oh, yes. Lang Zuhu unleashes his stones. The text describes it like flying locusts in sudden rain. Just this overwhelming barrage. Imagine the terror.
Yeah, that plus the shouting, the confusion.
It ramps up the pressure immensely. And then the flanks start to collapse. Huan Feihu's forces hit Deng Zong and Tao Rong.
And this is where another key figure falls.
Right. Huang Tiangsang, who was Wang Feihu's son, young, fierce, he manages to spear Tao Rong, kills him.
That must have broken their morale on that side.
Instantly. Deng Zong retreats. Xin Huan on the other side, he looks around, sees the sheer number of Zhu attackers, and he sees the fire.
The fire in the rear camp? Yang Jian succeeded.
Completely. The supplies are gone. It's visible confirmation of disaster. And that's when the propaganda really kicks in.
The soldiers realize it's hopeless.
Pretty much. Oh. Their supplies are burning, their generals are falling or retreating, and they hear these promises of peace and safety if they just switch sides.
So they break.
They break. The Qing Tang soldiers start fleeing, apparently shouting that Jiki is the place to be. When Zhang's defeat is total, it's strategy, psychology, logistics, and divine power all converging. So the battle itself is lost. The human part of the conflict for Wenzong is essentially over.
And the shift is immediate, right?
Absolutely. He manages to gather what's left of his army, maybe 30,000 or so, a fraction of what he had, and Tao Rong's confirmed dead.
A major loss. Where did they even try to go?
They retreat about 70 li, maybe 35 miles, get to the foothills of Qishan. The initial plan seems to be to head for Jieming Pass, regroup there.
But heaven has other plans.
Oh, does it ever? This is where it gets really stark. His escape route is just blocked systematically. First up, Peach Blossom Ridge.
And who's waiting there?
The immortal Guang Chengzi, one of the really powerful ones.
I mean, he just tells him to stop.
Explicitly. Tells him he's going against heaven's mandate, the Qin Ming. Says he absolutely cannot pass this ridge.
So it's not a military blockade, it's a divine decree.
Exactly. Wenzong is now face to face with the cosmic order telling him no.
How does Wenzong react? He must be furious, desperate.
Enraged. He's trying to save his man. He sees this figure, technically from the same broad Taoist tradition, blocking him. So he attacks. What else can he do?
Fight his way through.
Tries to. But Guan Chengzi isn't messing around. He deploys the Fan Tian Yin, the sky-turning seal.
Okay, remind us this thing is bad news, right?
Understatement. Think of it as a magical mountain dropping out of the sky to crush you. It's overwhelming power. When Zong sees it and instantly knows, the text quotes his thought. If this seal hints me, how will I live?
He has to flee.
No choice.
Yeah.
Abandons the route to Jieming Pass, flees westward towards Yanshan. He's literally being herded.
And just know it's not over. There's going to be someone waiting at Yanshan too, isn't there?
You guessed it. He gets to Yanshan, reaches Taibua Mountain, and who's blocking the road? Qijingzi, another major mortal.
Acting on orders.
Yep. Acting under the orders of Rending Doran, the Burning Lamp Buddha. Another heavyweight.
And the message is the same.
Identical. You cannot enter the five passes. Yeah. Stop right here.
Wenzong must feel utterly betrayed now. Qijingzi is also, broadly speaking, a fellow disciple.
He calls it out. He's furious, feels cornered, betrayed by his own kind. He decides, this is it. Fight to the death. There's nowhere else to run.
So he attacks Qijingzi.
He does. But the fight is incredibly short. Qijingzi barely engages before bringing out his ultimate weapon.
Which?
The yin-yang-jang. The yin-yang mirror.
Oh, boy. Okay. So this is systematic. It's like heaven is just closing doors one by one, with overwhelming force.
That's exactly the feeling. The human battle was just the physical manifestation of the Mandate. Now, the Mandate itself, through these immortals and their devastating artifacts, is personally ensuring Wenzong cannot escape his fate. Every road is a dead end, cosmically speaking.